So I left, came back home, and the heart started jumping. It wanted to go back. 6 August 92, the official date. Thursday night, the zikr again. 10 p.m., the spiritual teacher frees the zikr. He's sitting on the floor. He lifts his head up, and he makes eye contact with me, and I'm on the other side of the room. And he looks heavenwards at the same time. He says in fluent Turkish, and I don't speak a word of Turkish, but I understood every single word that he said in Turkish that night. He said, "My son, I'm not asking you. I'm instructing you to form an organization. The name in Arabic will be Wakful Waqifin. Translated, Gift of the Givers. You will serve all people of all races, all religions, all colors, all classes, all cultures, of any geographical location and of any political affiliation, but you will serve them unconditionally. You will expect nothing in return, not even a thank you. In fact, in what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life," I was 30 years old, "expect to get a kick up your back. If you don't get a kick up your back, regard it as a bonus. Serve people with love, kindness, compassion, and mercy. And remember, the dignity of man is foremost." Ladies and gentlemen, ESKOM will not destroy a country. Race differences will not destroy a country. Financial differences will not destroy a country. What will destroy a country is when people lose all dignity. When they lose dignity and there's no hope and there are no consequences because you've got nothing more to lose, then your country is gone. Because they have nothing more to lose, they've lost everything. How do you tell a parent or the parents, "You know, I'm very sorry, your two-year-old child fell down a pit toilet and drowned in feces"? What will happen to you if your child or your grandchild drowns in feces? What will happen to your soul? It happens all the time. It's been happening for years. Have you seen violence? Have you seen anger? Have you seen people erupting and killing anybody? They bear it with patience because it's the same mentality of 27 April 1994. We are abusing that. We need to change the system. We need to share and hold hands and take to people who are not asking for much. I told you what they're asking for. We need to return the dignity of people as South Africans, because we are all one people in this country. We've been advantaged and other people have been disadvantaged. We need to level the playing field. They don't want everything that you have. All they want is a little dignity. Not too much to ask and not too much to give. Clothe the naked, feed the hungry, provide water to the thirsty. And in everything you do, be the best at what you do. Not because of ego. If anything destroys a community and a country, it's ego. It breaks the relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, in the families, in the church, in the NGO sector, in government, in the corporates. The biggest monster on earth is ego and greed. Not because of ego, but because you're dealing with human emotion, human suffering, and human dignity. My son, remember that whatever you do is done through you and not by you. For 30 years, I'm a living witness that all the things that you guys think I do is not humanly possible. Everything is laid out for you. You need somebody, they call you. You need a contact, the contact is put in front of you. You need an item, it comes to you. Everything is put out for you. And I'll give you an example in a little while. Everything is put out for you in the most magnificent way, because when you have faith and spirituality, something is taking care of you all the time. Mario can give you that story also. It's incredible what happens. So I asked him, I said, "I got a little bit of a problem here. I'm a doctor. I have 3 practices in a place called Pietermaritzburg in South Africa. What am I supposed to do? And when am I supposed to do this? Like after hours, weekends, long weekends, public holidays, when?" He told me one line: "You will know. For 30 years, I do know what to do, how to do, what to touch, what not to touch." The most glaring example was 6 January 2014. Al-Qaeda contacted us after 6 months. We were saying, "We need to talk about South Africans that you guys have captured." And on the 7th of January 2010, they told us, "Come to Aden." And my team member goes to Aden in Yemen. In 4 days, No training by the FBI, no training by the Americans or Europe, no training by anybody in hostage negotiations. We take out Yolande Corky alive, ransom free, in 4 days. How? We just knew what to do, how to do, when to do. It's a spiritual gift. What you need comes at the right time. But that same night, when I walked out on the 6th of August, 1992, it came to me the same night. Respond to the civil war in Bosnia. Not 5 months later, the same month, 6th August 92, I took in 32 containers of aid into Bosnia alone. 3 months later, we took in 8 containers of winter items. The chill factor in Eastern Europe in winter can reach minus 21 degrees. So who wants to go away from North Africa? We got a great country and great weather. We're not going to get this anywhere else. In 93 came the big challenge. We designed the world's first containerized mobile hospital. And that's where I met Johan van der Veeteren. I went to his place, him and his brother. I met them in Pretoria and Rosslyn. A few weeks later, they came to my house. And I said, Johan, we're going to design this hospital and make it a world first. We built 28 state-of-the-art units, a world first. Theater unit, ICU, sterilization, X-ray, dental unit, burn unit, casualty, outpatient, orthopedics, gynecology, and the whole range. And a bus, and an ambulance, and a generator to go with it. But when Johan came to the house, I said, Johan, we've just been formed an organization. I don't have money. I can't guarantee I'm going to pay you. I'm not sure we're going to get it done. He said, how much you got? I told him I can give you 300,000 then. He said, it's fine. I'll build it. I said, at that time we were looking at about 5 or 6 containers around 1.2, 1.3 million. And I said, if I can't pay you, then what? He said, it's my gift to you. You see, I had prejudice against Christian, against white, against Afrikaner. And the teacher said, we don't judge anybody. We look at a human being as a human being. We keep an open heart and an open mind. We don't put people in boxes. People may have bad habits, doesn't make them bad people. And he said, look at people without all these labels. And that same night, it left me. And that's why I contacted him. A man from another religion, another color, another race, was prepared to give a hospital for the Muslim people inside Bosnia. And our relationship has started ever since then. It was the world's first. A hospital built in Pretoria, built in South Africa, a world first taken from Africa into Europe. But how many South Africans believe in themselves, in our capacity, in our capability to be world class? CNN filmed the hospital on the 1st of February 1994, and they said the South African containerized mobile hospital is equal to any of the best hospitals in Europe. All credit goes to that man and his company. I'm going to give you 2 more examples and then we call it a day. 12 January 2010, the earthquake hits Haiti. 8 days later, 20th January, my teams are in the collapsed Catholic church. And hear sounds in the rubble. And they pull out alive, 64-year-old Enazizi. No oxygen, no food, no water, completely covered in the rubble. Fractured hip, they pull her out alive. 8 days into the earthquake, her first words to Ahmed Bam, my team leader, and Mani House, 2 team leaders, she tells them, I love God. You instill hope and faith in somebody several thousand kilometers away. Her second words to them was, I love you. The essence of religion is love and service. My teacher told me there's no point sitting in the corner and reading the rosary. That's not going to help anybody. It's time to get out of the corner and go and serve people unconditionally. That is the essence of real religion. And service is the best thing you can do to climb the spiritual ladder. In 2023, we repeated that feat. 7th February, I called General Patekile, Western Cape Police Commissioner. Well, let's go a little bit back. I told you I'll give you an example of what spirituality, how spirituality works. In November last year, My friend calls me from Cape Town and says, the general manager of Turkish Airlines from San Francisco is moving to Cape Town to be the general manager in Cape Town. Would you like to meet him? I said, yes, I need an airline partner. But since COVID, everything is sort of non-functional. But we need to prepare for something in the future. So he said, it's fine, but you can't see him now. He's arranging his work permit, this, that, and the other. We see him next year. 1st February, I'm jumping the plane from Durban to Cape Town. It strikes me, out of the blue, hey, this man said this guy from Turkey is coming, from America is coming. I call him, I said, is the guy here? He calls me back in a few minutes. Yes, he's here. Will he see me? But I can only see him 9 o'clock at night. He says, yes, he will see you. We'll take him for supper. Sinan comes, we speak, we make the introduction. My words to him on the 1st of February 2023 is, I'm looking for an airline partner on with whom I can move search and rescue equipment in the event an earthquake hits some country. 5 days later, 4.5 days actually, 4:17, 6 February, Monday morning, the earthquake hits his country. On the 4th of February, I fly from Cape Town to Joburg because my wife said, you're ducking all family weddings, you better come. So she goes from Maritzburg to Joburg and I fly to Joburg. On the 5th, somebody forgot to book my return flight to Durban. So be very philosophical about it. It's God's will. You're meeting the rest of the family. You haven't seen your brother and sisters for a long time. Nice to spend some time together. I knew it wasn't that. But anyway, yes, be happy and stay in Joburg, it's fine. On the 6th of February, 4:17, when the earthquake hit, I understood why there was no return flight for me on the 5th of February. Because I needed to go see the Turkish ambassador, because she called me and she said, we need your teams. And I said, I need all arrangements made on the ground. Who's going to receive me? Where are we going to? How are we going to get there? My first priority is how are we going to get out, not how are we going to get in any disaster. So I went and sat with them and the teams had to come to Joburg and we started doing everything. Had I been in Maritzburg, I would have lost time and I would have come back to Joburg. So God made it such inefficient, not wasting time, I was there. On the 7th of February, when the team started getting across, I realized they're not going to manage. So I phoned General Particular, the head of the Western Cape Provincial Commissioner, and I said, General, we need, Ali made the call, we need the dogs. We could have taken our own private dogs and our own private handlers. But I told you, we need to build the country together. When we upskill the civil servants, they benefit the country when they come back. That's why as part of our disaster management teams are guys from disaster management. As part of our medical teams are guys from the public service, committed to come and they can come back and use their skills again. So we phone him and Ali calls him and says, we need the dogs. He says, my friend Ali, the person who deals with the dogs internationally is sitting right next to me. We phoned him all the time. The guy wasn't sitting next to him before. The day we need him, he's sitting right next to him. And there is hope for government. You see, in 5 minutes, they took a decision to give us 5 dogs and 6 handlers. 5 minutes is history, historical, you've got to write it down. Never happens. They come to you after the disaster. And SAP has asked us, how did you come right with SAPS, with SAPS dogs and SAPS handlers? We can't do this in 3 days. How did you guys do this? I said, we bribed them. The dog chief understood spirituality. He understood service. He understood the importance of the dogs to go. In 12 hours, 5 dogs and 6 handlers were waiting in the airport to fly to Turkey. There is good in the government, and there's a lot of things we can do together. So the dogs get to Hatay. We're the only NGO in the world with our own team, search and rescue team. All the other guys who've come there are government. Chinese, Italian, Serbian, Croatian, Bosnian, Bahraini, Saudi Arabian, Omani, and the Turkish government teams all come with their own planes, their uniforms, their equipment. We're the only team in the world that went at our own cost, our own equipment, and we took our government with us. That's the difference. But those dogs were very clever. After a while, they said, you're the only guys that got 5 dogs. We only got like 2 dogs. And they said, your dog can smell a live person and a deceased person. It knows the difference. Our dog can't do that. We need one dog for live person, one dog for deceased person. One dog can't do both. So they asked my children, like, how come the dog can do that? So we said the dog is South African. If the dog can do that, what can't we do as human beings? Nothing is insurmountable. And they ask, how does he know the difference? So the dog lies down like this when there's deceased people. And the Turkish government thanked us because in one building where the dog did that, they picked up 200 bodies. And the building, the other building, when the dog started digging, we said, like, how do you know it? There's a live person. We said the dog goes crazy, starts digging. And in that building, the dog was right. Donna, the dog's name is Donna. People pulled out a 90-year-old Turkish old woman from the rubble. Thank you to the dog. Brigadier Vimla Mudli, who was in charge of that dog, got called by the Turkish president and she received the presidential award, which recognized SAPS, the dog unit, the dogs, and our country. It's a huge achievement. It's just simply by taking him across. So let's go to something more spiritual before that. Last year, people from our unit called us and said they bought us these nice big Land Cruisers for the dog unit, but they forgot to cover it. Now you can't go to the Land Cruiser everywhere with a dog in the back that's open, he'll jump out and run away. So we closed the Land Cruisers, not knowing we're doing it for her. The same lady that we closed the Land Cruiser for was the same lady called to lead the SAPS team. The same lady's dog found a live person in the country that's close to me, because that's where Gift of the Givers was born. I've been there 28 times. And as a spiritual thing, she gets the president, gives her the award. She comes back to South Africa, and on the 1st of June, guess who's the new head of the South African K-9 unit? Brigadier Vimla Mudli, the new head of the South African K-9 unit. The government recognized the skill, put her in charge, and we're already seeing, as a first measure, we're going to give them 60 dogs because they don't have dogs. The biggest problem is in the KZN floods, realized there were no dogs. The last two spiritual messages. One is, let's talk about SAPS. During the lockdown itself, Ali was in Nonzamo, a place in Pal. It was April 2022. The lockdown was biting. People were hungry. It was time to give out food parcels. We rolled out over 200,000 food parcels. And 8 o'clock came level 5 lockdown. And the SAPS came and said, curfew, lockdown, can't food parcels anymore. Ali calls me, I said, SAPS guy can jump in the lake. I'm breaking the law, he can do what he wants. We break laws, we specialize in that. And we said we're going to deliver. To the credit of the SAPS guy, he says, you are right. We can't leave old people standing in the cold weather. He calls for reinforcements and said, we will put the old people in the vans and take them to their house. The last old lady gets a food parcel at 12:30 in the morning, night into the next morning. It's freezing cold. She tells Ali she's going home to wake up her grandchildren. So he said, at this part of the morning, it's not right. She says, you see, when I left home in the morning, my grandchildren looked with hope in their eyes to me that I'll bring something for them to eat because they haven't eaten for days. We don't know what goes on across the road. And she said, when I take it home, I have to show them that my wait for the whole day was not wasted. If the SAPS blocked that, that would have been a serious problem. But they were human and they understood that people need help. And she said, I'm taking it home to wake my grandchildren up to eat. In a place called Pedi, in June 2024, gave the food parcel. The lady said, thank you very much, in a very dignified way. And she said, talk to my children. They will tell you the taste of every plant because they've been eating plants for the last 3 months. There's no food. You see, there was no violence, no eruption, nothing burning because people have faith and patience. Let's not abuse that. The final point, you see, if we all stand together and I take my uniform off and you guys take your uniforms off and the mayor takes his title off and everybody takes their titles off and we all stand next to each other, we don't know who's who. All we know is we come from the same community, from the same area, we all want peace, we all want harmony, we all want education, we want water, we want lights, we want everything else. We are South African, all together, standing next to each other. Take the titles, the branding, the labels all off. And when you walk together, that's what we did in Western Cape. In the floods, it's the most remarkable intervention we've done in 13 days. We've been to 51 areas in 13 days, distributing along the N1, the N2, and the N7. When we were trying, we came to the bridge in Citrusdal that was cut off completely. Local knowledge, if we asked somebody, Ali said, does somebody know about another road? And one farmer said, yes, there's another farmer that got his own bridge across the road and go there. So we went and we found a bridge. The water was crossing. The police divers came, ambulance service came, paramedics came, helicopter pilots came, disaster management, municipality, councillors, local people, everybody came. And my driver said, we're going to take the risk. And we're going to drive across this bridge when the water's coming across. And the divers are waiting on the side in case the truck falls into the water to take them out. But everybody went and they crossed that bridge. And expectant people on the other side were crying with joy, screaming, shouting, because for days they were cut off from basic stuff. Working as South African, not worried about the labels, we did it and we went across. Wuppertal was cut off and the helicopter pilot said, the wind is right now, let's jump in and fly. And they went into Wuppertal, my teams went in, we supplied all the stuff. Every single item in the flood zone has come from Gift of the Givers. We spent 15 million in 10 days already, just taking stuff into the areas. Yesterday they went in Cedarburg area, same story with the helicopters, getting into the area. Trucks working together, we go across into Citrusdal. The guy said, you got to be back in 2 hours, that water is going to rise, your truck won't come through. So we left the police ambulance, the police van, the ambulance, the RTI, they took the goods to the balance of the house. We had to be out in 2 hours. Today we can't cross the bridge, the water is too high. The truck cannot go through that bridge again. At the right time, at the right moment, we got through. So as South Africans, there's a lot of hope in this country. This is the greatest country in the world. We need to be positive. We have to have mindset change. We need to hold the hands of the good guys of government and kick the bad guys in their teeth and fix this country. We can do that. The final point, when the Bosnian team was there in Turkey, the Bosnian team member comes to Ahmed Bam, my team leader. He takes out his wallet. He takes out a picture. Ahmed sees a picture of a baby and a mother in the picture. And the guy starts crying. And he asks, like, what happened? He says, I know your guy's name. I know the name Gift of the Givers. Because that baby is me. And I was born in the hospital that you guys brought, that Johan van der Veer built. Working together, ladies and gentlemen, we can do anything. Thank you.